this, it's not that we have all the answers, but it gets us thinking in ways that we might not otherwise. It's so easy just to get into our own lane and just kind of keep going and plugging through that way. But by sort of raising awareness, casting them out of these things, I just want to emphasize, you know, we've called this, welcoming a younger generation, you know, sort of looking hopefully at some of the trends, you know, where there is an increased interest in things of religion on the part of young people. Here's what I want to emphasize, and I think it will lead us into this week. You know, we're talking about a re-enchantment that in some studies took us from 4% to 18%. So it's a significant change, but you guys are all good at math, right? Anybody good at math? 18 minus 100 is 82, right? So that means 82% of young people are not sort of in this re-enchantment thing. So as much as we celebrate the, you know, that there is some turning and there's some hope, there's still a lot of work. And that's why it's so important that we pay attention to this, because we want to be a church community where anybody, but, you know, as we think about young people, that they come and they can find a connection. And so that's really where we're going with. And I would just say that overall, like in some senses, the 82% mirrors what we would see just society-wise. I think many of you know that the statistics, Barna and others, 38% of people are part of a faith community. So 62% of people, and that's true in Grand Rapids as well. You know, some of us are like, oh, it's church on every corner. True. That doesn't mean that there's anybody in those churches. But 62% of people nationwide and in Grand Rapids are not in a church community. And then you take 38% and you say, okay, well, how many of those? Because that includes everything, you know, from Jewish to Catholic to Christian. You know, you've got various forms, you know, so how many of those are actually in what we would call a Bible-believing, you know, gospel-affirming, believe, you know, some of the basic tenets of the faith. So, you know, it's probably about in that 18%. So that means 82% of people that you come into contact with, 8 out of 10, 4 out of 5, however you want to do it, are maybe not having sort of an evangelical gospel experience. And it's true across the country. So I'm going to turn it over to these guys for today. So we've got Lucas going to talk a little bit. And we also have Kenny and David, who I think you know, work with our CAM and campus outreach and just thinking through these things. Like, how do we be a community that is welcoming to young people?
Saying. So one of the first things that happened when I came to Christ Church was I heard about this ministry called Sinks and Dinks. And everyone has a different reaction to that title, that name. And I'll say it a couple times. It means single income, no kid, double income, no kid. We're not trying to define people by their income per se or anything like that, rather than to designate a demographic that's been growing. People are getting married later. People are having children later. And this is an adaptation to that reality. Whereas maybe in the past, people who were going into their 20s were eventually just naturally part of family ministry. They were having children, involved in children's ministry and attending events geared towards families. But that's less and less the case today. And so one of the things that Christ Church was beginning to think about, beginning to do when I came here, was to dedicate a space for folks who are in their 20s, basically out of high school, working generally 18 to 30. And we call it sinks and dinks, single income, no kid, double income, no kid. So the purpose of this ministry, we want to create a space, because this is a somewhat new trend happening demographically in America. So a lot of churches don't have a space dedicated for that. So we've created a space for them, and we want to connect them with others. One of the things, as I've been prepping and reading through books, if you read The Anxious Generation, connecting people with others, especially people who are my age, Gen Z or younger, is really important, because a lot of us have grown up disconnected with sort of, you know, proliferating online lives that we live in these discrete online communities. But we need spaces where we can connect with others and literally form friendships. We don't have or spend time with as many friends as previous generations did. So that's really a ministry, to create that space to connect. And then the third thing that we want to do through this ministry is to cultivate participation within the broader community of the church. Now, if you weren't able to make it last week, one of the things that multiple people on the panel drew out was that they don't really want to just have ministry served up on a platter to them of like, hey, we're going to have this event, come have fun. They want that, it's true, to connect. But at the same time, they don't want solely that. They want to be viewed as normal, active adult members in the church and respected in that way. And so far as, you know, they would like to participate in Adult Institute, they would like to be incorporated into C groups, they would like to serve in various ministries of the church, just as any other regular adult member is. So, to that end, we want to do things like share regular meals with one another for fellowship and connection, have fun together, create that friendship through that as well. And then we also, in engrafting people, want to get them connected for opportunities to serve. We want to get them connected opportunities to participate in C groups and even lead C groups in the future, hopefully. So we want to do those three things through this Sinks and the Stinks ministry. And amazingly, we have about 70 people that fall into that range, which, as I've talked to other churches and people from different parts of the country who oversee similar ministries, that's a pretty large percentage of attenders who are coming to Christ Church. And it seems like when someone who is a younger adult in this demographic comes in, they can see that others their age are in here and connect with them and feel like this place is a home. So this ministry that has been going on in the background and is becoming a little bit more formalized is just a recognition of that fact. And we want that to be true of Christ Church as it has been. We want it to continue to be. So we're trying to do about 2 events per month, 1 meal, 1 fun activity. And as we're thinking about welcoming the younger generation into our church, you may be wondering, well, what are ways that I can specifically get involved in here? Kenny will come up and talk more about some of the really practical reaching across uncomfortable lines and getting to know people. But one thing that you could help out with is when we do meals, for example, we'll have one a week from today on the 25th. We would love someone to help serve or help make food with us, because we would love to invite some people to participate and get to know through those meals and events as well. So if you're thinking about, hey, I have a heart for this generation, I want to serve them, come alongside them, that's a really tangible way, and you can reach out to me. You can email me or text me. I'm on the app if you look in there. And along with that, if you oversee your own sort of pocket of serving ministry, maybe it's communion prep or thinking about welcoming, which I'm starting to help oversee as well. If you have places where you think, oh, we have a need for serving. This is a group of people who are really willing to serve. Just this week, I was visiting an older couple from the church with one of the members of this group. And we just went there. We were able to help him out, get to know him, pray for him. People are eager to serve and to build up the church. So as you welcome them and as you talk to them, just know that the people who are here want to be here, and they want to be continually invited in and incorporated into the life of the church. And this ministry, Sinks and Dinks, single income, no kid, double income, no kid. This ministry is just one way that at Christ Church, we're trying to do that as intentionally as we can.
Thank you. Oh yeah, get your coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of overlap, I'd say, with what Lucas was just talking about, with what we got with Cam. You know, he was saying Generation Z and younger have that, you know, we grew up in a separate, different kind of environment where maybe there was more online connection or felt like online connection, so maybe a little bit less ability to make friends as easily, so a little bit less engagement, even within their own peers. So a lot of what we're doing with Cam right now is also the same thing. We're trying to enforce that and make that happen for the, especially for the ones that are here, you know. So one of the things that we're doing, well, in general, our mission is to help them know God and make him known. And when I say them, I mean college age people. So there are, it's basically 18 to 24 year olds, 18 to 23 or so, who, yeah, might be in college, but might not be. So some people are in trades already, working. Other people are, a lot of them are at Calvin. Then there's some in Aquinas. We got Cornerstone. So we're well represented. And what we want to do is make sure that we have the availability for people that are of that age group to come in and feel welcome, regardless of where they are, you know, physically most of the time during the week. So it's a good ministry. It's fun in that way. We had a national conference just recently with Campus Outreach, and obviously Kenny and I work with Campus Outreach as well, so there's some overlap there, and we 14 people from this area came, went over there. We got the twins over here that went, Rachel and Ruth, and then a lot of other people, and it's really encouraging to see the overlap and the connection that between the students and those people that are working, those people at other schools, even if they're at a Christian school, public school, like there's so many different things, but everybody wants to know God and wants to make him known. So it's been just really fun to see that. And in terms of numbers, we have probably about 50 people that fall into the category. You might not think that if you're not looking for them, but they're here pretty often. You know, some of them are, of course, second service. It's more second service than first. So that's part of it if you're a first service person. And then I'd say about 30 are actively involved. So we have people, the most constant thing that we have are Sunday night gatherings. So we have a Bible study. We do a little bit of worship usually. We study the word, you know, some fellowship, snacks, and then we finish off with prayer. So quick, you know, fit a lot into like an hour, hour and a quarter. And so that's one of the things that's constantly happening. And those ones, we have 20, 25 people usually. And then, but they change over the week. So that's why we say about 30 actively go into that. And then the other thing that we have that's also pretty recurring is Wednesday night prayers. So Sunday night, every single week, Wednesday night prayers every week when we have Wednesday night dinners. The college students or the CAM ministry separates afterward and we do prayer together. That one's a little lower numbers, but it's also often, or it's recurring, and it's just a good time to be praying for each other very deliberately. So that has been going well. And yeah, like I said, there's people in a lot of different groups. So what we do is Wednesday night dinners, Sunday nights every week. And then throughout the week, we're also doing other, you know, we're trying to do more social events. And then one other update that I wanted to say about Sunday nights is that this semester we are going to be adding kind of like a speaker series and then like a social event, game nights. So it'll be different on Sunday nights. But still with the focus being Bible studies, usually. And the other thing I want to say about that is that we also do it's been really fun to see different people doing different things, leading the games, icebreakers, the worship. Even we've had different people, one or twice had people lead the actual study, see how they do it. They have to have a certain heart for it, you know. And finally, a fun thing to see is also these students and non-students becoming members and getting involved with the church. So we had Musa, I don't know if you remember, maybe a couple months ago at this point, he was baptized. He's a regular cam goer. Then we had Noah become a member recently, just a few weeks ago. And then today, we're going to have Caitlin get baptized. And so these are all cam goers that we just love to see getting involved with the church, getting plugged in now. And then, you know, the hope, we always push toward church involvement, church membership, church servant leadership as the future too. So it's fun to imagine what it could be from those people going on into the next few years and decades. So that's Cam in a nutshell.
Thanks, David. Well, I'm going to get into some of the practicals, but before you do that, I'll give you a little bit of perspective and even just definition of things that I've learned in the last 2 years of being here. I actually just learned something new today. David said that most of the college students come to second service, and it dawned on me, we have a first service. I didn't even know that. That's a lie. I've been there, I think, twice in about 3 years. But let me first introduce myself. I think I know majority of you. My name's Kenny Hayes. I'm the West Michigan Regional Director for Campus Outreach, and David is our local CAM director, but he also works half-time with me for the College Ministry Campus Outreach. It's a interdenominational ministry all over the U.S., but we started in Michigan about 5 years ago, and I've been here for the last 2.5 years and learning a ton. And so as we were coming together today, I wanted to share some of the things I've learned and some of the practical tips that I might even request of you guys that could kind of help us win more college students here. And I think some of this will also apply to the Sinks and Dinks as well. But generally speaking, I would say the thing that I've learned is young people are, I'm thinking mostly through Calvin because I spend so much of my time at Calvin. But the spiritual background of the spectrum is just so wide. 20 years ago, whenever I started, there was way more of a preparedness for the gospel. More college students grew up in church. But the thing that we found in 20 years, it's just more and more rare for students to grow up in the church. And so the spectrum of their spiritual background is very wide and also quickly changing. I remember Pastor Andrew and I met with the chaplain on campus at Calvin a few years back, and they were reminiscing when they were students. I think at Calvin, the demographics was 75 or 80% of their student population grew up in the CRC church, and now it's somewhere between 10 and 12%. And so I don't know how that lands on your ears. Actually, I do. You just went, oh. And that it should land like that. That's not to say that it's only 10 to 12% Christians on campus, but it does give you a sense of times are changing. Even a school like Calvin is quickly changing. So a wide variety of probably denominational backgrounds on campus. But as you can imagine, probably a lot of those also weren't raised in church. In the last 2 years, I've had the chance to serve as the chaplain for the football team. And last year alone, I had 18 individuals tell me, prior to coming to college, they actually had never gone to church. And so I don't think that's necessarily indicative of the campus as a whole, but it does give you a sense of the context, even on a school like Calvin, is quickly changing. And so before we get into the practicals, I'd like to give you kind of two overarching recommendations as we're thinking about engaging this subject. One is forget everything you know, just for a moment. Whenever I showed up to Christ Church and started serving on staff here, you know, you see 40 or 50 or 60 college students here and you think, man, everything's cool. Things must be going really well. And I think it'd be tempting for you guys to be like, no, everything's covered here. And I would just say, in many ways, the reason there's so many young people coming is because we're 2 miles from a couple really strong Christian colleges. But in terms of the effort and the prayer and the vision for reaching more, I think we've got to maintain a high sense of need and not grow content or indifferent to just kind of coast and say, no, everything must be covered, because I don't think that's the case. In other words, come with fresh eyes. Despite seeing a great group here on Sundays, I would still urge you to come with fresh eyes to think about maybe reaching that demographic differently. And for me, I've had to do that because serving at Calvin hasn't necessarily been the same or serving here at Christ Church as the other churches that I've worked at. And so I've attempted to do that. Every time you go to a new place, you kind of got to contextualize your efforts, and it can just be really helpful to kind of peel back the curtain and say, man, I just want to imagine, maybe I don't know exactly what's going on. And so part of this series has just been to inform and to kind of catch you guys up to speed on some of the things that we've learned by serving on campus. And then the second recommendation would be this, is just to ask yourself, what can I personally do or individually do myself to forgo my own comfort for the sake of theirs? Pastor Andrew, I think it was last week, mentioned, you know, in that engagement, if you're trying to welcome a young person into the church, you or them, which one probably feels more uncomfortable? That was during the panel. And I think majority of the people in the audience said us, like the older people. But there was probably like five young people in the room. If it was like 50-50 and there was a bunch of young people here, I think they would be just as inclined to say, no, it's actually us. And so I think there is a discomfort on both sides or an intimidation factor. And so I would encourage you guys to recognize that they're just as scared as you are of them. And for us to kind of bridge that gap, it's going to require some give and take on both sides. And so that's some of what I wanted to get into next. But I wanted to outline just three different categories or three. I don't know why my clicker's not working. Is it advancing? Oh, there we go. So I wanted to outline just a few different groups that I have seen since being here in the last 2 years. And I would say there's probably many, but I've tried to simplify it just into these three groups. The first being just regular attenders, those who tend to come and sit over here, but I think they're starting to scatter all over the sanctuary now. But those who are here often. I want to give you a little bit of definition of some of my observations of them. I would say that their commitment to Sunday service is actually very high. And it's kind of blown my mind, to be honest, because most of the college students that I've worked with have become Christians in college, and so you're having to drag them out of bed to get them to come to church on Sunday morning. But being at a school like Calvin, we've gotten this great influx of college students year by year, and I would say their commitment to being in a local church is actually very, very high, and that's been very encouraging to me. On the flip side, though, I would say that their involvement here in the church is very low. I've had a difficult time trying to bridge that gap to get them, and this is not true for every single one. We've got, like, you know, the 20-80 principle, like 20% of the people do 80% of the work. You know what I'm talking about? Someone help me out. It kind of feels like that. We've got that 20% who are very invested. They're coming Wednesday morning, serving in the children's ministry alongside of my kids and so on and so forth. But I'm talking right now, I'm the campus outreach guy, right? And so I'm thinking about that 80%. How can we reach that 80%? And I would say a lot of them, their involvement in the community, the things that we're providing even during the week, they're not very invested. They're not very consistent. Getting them plugged in on a Wednesday night meal or getting them serving in the rest of the church is actually fairly low. And I would say that's because they have lots of community elsewhere. So I'm not knocking them, I'm just defining them. On the college campus, they have so many things that are begging for their time and attention. And our hope is by the time they're seniors, they would be more plugged in the community. But it's not easy, and so we're basically asking for your help. How can we get them plugged in to the church community more? Because they have lots of things that are clamoring for their attention, both to serve, but also just tons of opportunities for community and friendship elsewhere. So that's the first group. Now, the second group is, I would say, these are Christian students that I've seen come and visit one time. We have had a ton of Calvin and Cornerstone Aquinas students come and visit and then never come back. And the reason I know that is because I've just trained my eye. I've done this for 20 years. I'm always looking for that new face. It's my job, right? I'm getting paid to make sure that we're catching more college students. But I'm trying to train your eye as well, because we actually get a ton of college students come in and then leave and never come back. And so I want you guys to not just be in awe of the 40 who are here every week, but usually I'm like running out into the lobby, like trying to catch someone before they leave, because I know I'm never going to see them again. And to be honest, it's been a little overwhelming. Again, anyone that I've seen in church typically is like, we've been investing in them for a couple years, and by the time they show up, they're probably going to stick around. But here we have this amazing opportunity. We're 2 miles from these really strong schools, and people are coming, but they're also leaving. And I think if we tweak some things, we can actually help keep them around longer. And so that would be some of the practicals. So again, their church interest is high, but their relational connection here is low. And I think the thing, in a way, that we have going against us is there's a lot of really good churches within 2 miles of here. And I'm not saying that we're in a competition, but I am saying I talk to freshmen at Calvin all the time, and they will tell you, I am church shopping. And I'm just thinking, man, I hope you get plugged in somewhere. But a lot of times you talk to the seniors, and they've been church shopping all 4 years. And I would say the fact that freshmen are even entertaining us and other churches is awesome, but what can we do to kind of help them see the importance and value of getting plugged in and sticking around and not just jumping from one church to the next? And then lastly, I won't say a ton here, but there's a third group, and that is non-Christian students, or I want to call them soon-to-be Christian students. And these are the ones that are not going to don the doors and come here, or at least maybe haven't yet. Church interest low. Relational connections are actually medium. So this should intrigue you, like, well, how are they medium? And that would be simply this, is because David and I spend a ton of time on campus, David Tenney here, and I hanging out with them and working with them in small group Bible studies. And our longing is to get them plugged in here at the church. And they're kind of like that other group that I'm afraid, after investing a lot of time, maybe they'll come and visit and won't make their way back. But I do believe that they will visit soon. And so in summary of all that, I was a math guy, and so I was attempting. I did this morning, so if this is not very good, blame it on my procrastination. But the Laura's gonna laugh at me later. She'll give me her feedback, I promise. And I need it. So basically, I'm looking at laughing because I'm like, I don't even know if this makes sense to me right now. What I do know is I want everyone in that top right corner, where you know there should be another. Oh, there it is. Where their church service, where they're here at church, what I meant by that is not serving the church, that they would be here at the church Sunday service, that their commitment would be high, and we have a lot of those already. That's why they're on the right side, the regular attenders, but that everyone would be plugged in, welcomed, and tied into community more. And again, we have that 20% that I would put in that upright corner, but there's that other 80% that they kind of come on Sundays, and then they sneak out the door, and they're gone. And so my practicals now, the how-tos, is going to be how to engage those three different groups. So regular attenders, those who are coming and are here often but aren't necessarily really plugged into the body of the church, I would encourage you to informally adopt one or two of them, and I mean that informally. I thought about creating a program, and maybe one day we will do that, but for the time being, I'm talking about something simpler. Is that you would just try to train your eye to see them and then to make your way over here at the end of the service. And don't let them get away until you find one. I'm serious, because they're just going to hang out with themselves. They do. And some of them hang out here in the back. I'm going to call it the Henry effect. Hopefully he's not here. There's this guy, Henry, that I've been trying to catch. I'm about to invite him into a discipleship group. And he's been coming here for a couple years. And somehow, when the church service ends, he literally just disappears. I don't know how he does it. he's a guy on campus, like, we spend a lot of time together, but on Sundays, like, boom, like, I look over, I'm always looking for him, like, oh, there he is, I'm going to catch him afterwards, and he's gone, I don't know how he does it. And then finally, early December, he forgot how to do the disappearing act, and I found him in this back hallway. He almost got away from me, but one of you had stopped him and had engaged him, and then a second person did, and it bought me enough time to get to him. And it was a good conversation, but it would make me so excited if that kind of thing happened every week, because there's so many of these people that, well, and he's a regular attender, and I almost can't catch him, but so adopt them, make them your friend is all I'm saying, and try to get to them consistently. It'll go a long, long ways. Does that make sense what I'm saying? In other words, you're paying me to do it, and now I'm asking you to do it. yeah. there are so many. There's no way David and I are going to get to all of them. But I think if we team up, we can. And I think so many of them then would start getting plugged into the rest of the life of the church throughout the week. The second group, those Christians who visit one time, essentially it's the same thing that I was just describing, except they come and go and we never see them again. And so I would ask you not to just like kind of select one or two that you're really befriending, but some of you are better at this, right? Like, we're not all wired up in the same way, so maybe this doesn't apply to all of you, but I do believe that there's some of you in the audience that you've got an eye for that newcomer, and so I would urge you to kind of help us in the same way to make it to those people that might, and a lot of times they come in groups of four or five. I remember half the basketball team came and sat in the back row a year ago, men's and women's, and then I hadn't seen them since, but I was trying to get to them, and they got away. And I was like, man, those are the kind of situations where you could help out by just welcoming those new faces. Oh, this is really practical. Maybe it'll feel a little bit odd, but I think if we stand any chance of trying to like really get to them, if you could ask them, would you be comfortable if I passed your cell phone number on to David Tenney or to Lucas for those who fall into that age category? And then lastly, the soon-to-be Christians, I would just urge you to pray that, and that you would ponder this question. Those soon-to-be Christians, those that aren't interested in coming to church, but I believe are going to start visiting in the next few months to next couple years, is how can we as a church begin to ponder what could we do to kind of tweak what we're doing and to get ready as a church to help them find a home where they would want to stay here.